speaking today with Sean Roberts, who's a candidate for Congress in the 18th District. Sean, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
I'm running so that the people of the 18th District will have a representative that's focused on local issues and a representative that's more focused on solutions than problems.
So can you be more specific about what you mean by local issues?
Well, in talking with many of the voters in the 18th, they feel that the current representative is more focused on national issues and national politics, democratic politics, instead of the mounting dropout rate that we have in the 18th district, or the economic situation with high unemployment in the 18th, and what they would like to see is, you know, not necessarily more visibility, but somebody wants to roll up their sleeves and take those issues on head to head, as opposed to being out front on so many national issues that don't have anything to do with Texas, and in more particular, the 18th district.
Well, what I tend to think of things like education and dropout as being more local in the sense that it's dealt with by local and state politicians. From a congressional point of view, what would you like to see done to deal with something like the dropout rate that isn't being done now?
Well, I support what Arnie Duncan is trying to do over at the Department of Education, which is to bypass some of this bureaucracy and get federal funds directly to some of these independent school districts. And, you know, bypassing the Texas Education Agency, which, you know, as everybody knows, Governor Perry wants to turn back funds from our federal government, funds that are badly needed in districts like HISD, for schools that sit right in the 18th district. And so I support those policies that will, anything we can do to decrease waste so that there's more money going into education as opposed to teacher administrative costs, let me put it to you like that.
Okay. Well, of course, obviously what's going on in Congress right now is focused around a number of big national issues, things that President Obama ran on, of which one at the forefront is probably health care. As you know, both the House and the Senate passed health care bills. They were different, at the end of last year, and it was during the process of negotiating the differences that the election in Massachusetts took place, and, you know, seems to have changed, you know, at least temporarily stalled the momentum for it. One solution that has been proposed and that there seems to be some consensus behind is for the House to simply pass the Senate's bill and then fix some of the differences that were sticking points in the House through the Senate reconciliation process. Is that an approach you would prefer, or would you prefer to see something else done?
The approach I prefer is to make sure that everybody is at the table and talking about the issue. And, you know, what's got a lot of people concerned about what's taking place with both, I think, the House and the Senate bill is that so much of it seems to have been taking place behind closed doors. And what turned a lot of people off, I believe, is what happened with Ben Nelson out of Nebraska, which left the taste in a lot of people's mouths that Democrats did not have the best solutions to the problem. And so what I'd like to see is for the ideas to be out, for folks to understand what the real issues are and why we need healthcare reform, and to get back to discussing these issues the way Congress, you know, the House of Representatives, and the way the Senate traditionally sit down and try and work these things out, which is let there be a debate. And let the best ideas win.
Well, arguably, we've been talking about this for a year. I think one could say that some of the frustration was that it's taken so long. But be that as it may, if you were in Congress today, and tomorrow the Senate bill were brought to a floor vote in the House, you know, with some assurance, however you want to define it, that, you know, other issues some of the differences between the House and Senate bill would be taken up in reconciliation. If the bill were brought to the floor, would you vote for it?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, another issue, and you touched on it yourself, has to do with jobs. That's the focus of President Obama and both chambers of Congress right now. They're talking about a jobs bill is one that's supposed to come out of the Senate. From a policy perspective, what sorts of things do you want to see in a jobs bill? What sorts of things do you want them to try and do in a jobs bill?
I think one of the most important things that needs to be addressed is small business lending, which has taken the biggest hit over the last couple of years. I'm a small business that relies on a line of credit at a bank in order to continue funding my payroll. And I've got several clients, both mid-size and small size, that have essentially either had to stop doing business or have to cut back tremendously because of the position that a lot of banks are taking. There's no way to fix the job situation without putting small businesses at the forefront of the solution. They provide 70% of our jobs. So what I'd like to see in any jobs bill is some discussion about what bank lending requirements, underwriting requirements are going to be for small businesses. Would like to see how the SBA is going to participate and how the administration wants to loop in the SBA in order to assist small businesses in getting back up on their feet. After 2 years of an economy like this, I bet you can imagine many small business owners have had credit issues, which makes it virtually impossible now. Even if banks start lending again, we're going to have to do something about the underwriting requirements, because many small businesses that I'm aware of, the owners of those businesses have taken a credit hit. So, in any jobs bill, just to recap what I told you is a focus on small business lending and how we're going to actually increase community bank participation with these small businesses.
And of course, one thing going on, since you talk about lending, obviously there's been issues with that since the bank problems that started 2 years ago. Also pending in Congress right now is talk about different forms of banking reform. A lot of people believe that a big part of what caused the crash of 08 was problems in the industry that wasn't sufficiently regulated, where things were allowed to happen that we didn't have any way to stop. What kind of approach do you want to see Congress take to deal with the big banks going forward?
And I've had this discussion with other representatives. We have enough regulations right now. If you look at what some of these banks were actually selling with these mortgage packages, these weren't really mortgages that they were selling, more like securities to sophisticated investors. And as you know, we have a amount of regulations that already regulate securities through the SEC. So had there been some enforcement of existing laws on the books for packages that banks were selling, and the way that AIG, for example, was getting involved in the securitization of these mortgage packages, these are things that already fell under the umbrella of the SEC, which is why a lot of heads rolled at the SEC once this problem came to light. So, implicit in that was somebody somewhere must have realized that the folks at the SEC weren't really doing their jobs in enforcing the regulations that were already on the books. And as you can see with the situation in D.C. as it is, these guys can't pass anything right now. There was an article in the Chronicle yesterday about just how much further the divide is getting with bipartisanship. So I think what needs to happen at the congressional level is we need to take a good look at the laws that we have on the books right now and figure out how we're going to use them in order to curb a lot of the problems that we've seen.
Okay. As you know, President Obama recently put forth his budget, which is, among other things, attempting to try and deal with some long-term deficit issues. Some people are concerned that focusing on deficit in the time of a down economy will just exacerbate some of the economic issues, much as what happened in the 1930s. What is your opinion of President Obama's budget, and do you think that there needs to be a focus on deficit, or should the focus remain on getting the economy going?
There are going to be detractors either way. You know, if he doesn't focus on the deficit, then the discussion is, why isn't he focused on the deficit, and he's running this country off the cliff? And if he does focus on the deficit, then, you know, now is not the time to do that. We need to get out of this hole. Look, we have got to be responsible with the way we're spending money. And I like the fact that the president seems to be honoring his pledge to go through the budget line by line and figure out ways for us to more efficiently spend our money. For example, with NASA, there were a lot of people upset about the fact that the programs that NASA has had seem to be getting cut, even though the president has overall increased spending within that agency. I've got a 7-month-old son. I am very concerned about the way we seem to be getting further and further in the hole. The fact that we are right now borrowing more money than any organization in the world, when we used to loan more money than any organization in the world. So I do think that that while we're focusing on jobs and getting out of this economic downturn, you know, we really need to be focused on the long term and how we're going to put this country back in a position of financial security.
And the biggest discretionary portion of the budget, once you put aside things like debt service and programs like Medicaid and Social Security, is the defense spending. And that is, as it stands right now, outside the scope of the president's proposed freezes. Do you agree with that approach?
Right now, yeah. I mean, it would be irresponsible to cut money out of our defense budget when we are involved in two wars, quite frankly. Certainly, bringing those wars to an end, which is something that he campaigned on, which is one of the big reasons I supported him, is something that's going to help us with respect to our long-term financials. But right now, I do think it would be irresponsible for us to be taking money from the Department of Defense, which is doing a good job along with Homeland Security and keeping us safe. And right now, that is necessary.
Okay. You mentioned Homeland Security. Congresswoman Jackson Lee is on the Homeland Security Committee. As you know, over Christmas, there was the incident with the so-called underpants bomber on the plane. What is your evaluation of how that incident has been handled since that person, you know, was discovered and caught?
Well, outside of the comment by Secretary Napolitano immediately after it happened, I think the issue has been handled quite well. There's been a full investigation, and I believe that he's going to be brought to justice.
Okay. There's been a lot of criticism about the fact that he was Mirandized and they want to have a civilian trial. Some people want to see him put in front of a military tribunal. Do you agree with that approach?
No. I support what the administration is doing, not just in that case, but also in the cases in New York. In fact, I wrote a blog about this back in June. We say we've got the best justice system in the world, and it's time for us to put that to the test. I mean, if we've got the evidence that I know we have and the talent within the Justice Department, we ought to have trials so that these folks can be put on trial in front of the world, and so we can place our ideals front and center and let everybody know that we actually mean the things that, that this country stands for.
Okay. How would you evaluate President Obama's first year in office?
I would give him high passing marks. I don't understand people that feel that he has given up on the things that he campaigned on. He has responsibly seems to be winding up the war in Iraq, which was one of the big issues. The economy has stabilized under his administration. I don't think anybody had or should have any complaints about that. We have covered a lot of ground with respect to the healthcare debate. And right now, you know, this did not seem to be a priority or an issue at all over the last 8 years. And now everybody is at least beginning to see that there's a tie-in to our economic health and what we're going to be doing with the healthcare situation. So I give him great credit for advancing that ball as far as it's come. Any one of those three things that could get accomplished during his first term, I would call monumental. But the fact that he's having to handle all of this at the same time and to keep all these balls in the air, I would give him passing marks, and I look forward to seeing what else he's going to focus on. And I'd like to be a part of those solutions, which is the reason why I'm running for the 18th congressional seat.
Okay. As you know, in 2003, at the behest of Tom DeLay, Texas redrew its congressional lines, and because that was intended to knock off a number of longstanding Democratic congressmen, the Texas delegation lost a lot of seniority. People like Martin Frost, Jim Turner, Charlie Stenham, Nick Lampson came back and then made a different seat for one term. The Congresswoman Jackson Lee is now one of the more senior members of the Texas congressional delegation at a time when, you know, Texas doesn't have a whole lot of other clout. So what's the, why should voters, throw that away and replace it with a freshman?
Yeah, well, I hate to answer a question with a question, but the best way to answer it is to ask what returns the 18th district or the city of Houston or the state of Texas has gotten from so many years that the congresswoman has been in office, and in particular right now. One thing that stands out with me is, she does not seem to be getting rewarded for that, what you call seniority. And I make the distinction between seniority and time in office. Sure, she's been there for a long time, but the committees that you've mentioned that she's on, which is Judiciary and Homeland, she doesn't chair either one of those committees. And, as far as I can see, she is, at least in terms of time in office, there's not more than 20 people in Congress that have more time in office than her. And so if Houston were getting returns for that time in office, we would be supporting the congresswoman. But the fact is we seem to be moving backwards with respect to the respectability in that seat within the Chamber of Commerce. Within the Chamber of Congress. And sometimes a change is needed in order for the other members of Congress to know that the constituency is paying attention and that they want to see things get done. And so it's not unheard of for incumbents to get challenged. Ms. Jackson Lee challenged an incumbent that actually was rising through the ranks of Congress. I think Mr. Washington, at the time he was challenged, was moving up the ranks in the Energy Committee at that point in time. And so we, while we gained a lot of energy with the congresswoman, we lost a lot with respect to losing Craig Washington's seniority there. And That'll be my answer.
All right. Well, and as you know, in this race, you're not the only person running for this. There's a Councilmember Jarvis Johnson is also running. So you've got a, you know, a 7 or 8 term congresswoman. You've got a now 3 term city councilman, and you, the first time candidate. So when people go to vote in this election, why should they vote for you?
Well, I'm not interested in partisan politics. I'm asking for people's vote because I'm more interested in taking care of their business up in Washington, D.C. I don't care to call a bunch of press conferences. I want to roll up my sleeves and get to work. This is a position that requires people to get along with their colleagues. I mean, there are 434 other people in Washington, D.C. that work in Congress, okay? And what I'm asking people to look at is what the actual function of Congress really is. And, you know, what I tell them is it functions like a board of directors for a very large company, and the position really doesn't lend itself well to activism and to being a soloist, if you will. It requires people that are able to gather and work in coalitions in order to get the people's business done, because there's not one single member that that's more important than any other single member. So, I'm asking them to vote for me because I'm disinterested in these partisan fights and the partisan bickering and the personal bickering that's been going on in D.C. actually for quite some time. What I'm interested in doing is confronting the opposition, talking to the opposition, airing out the debates, and winning on the ideas, winning on the solutions, because that's what the American people deserve. I think that you mentioned Massachusetts. That's what they want.
All right. Sean Roberts, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.